So our text is from Isaiah chapter 55, these words, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a few days ago now, it was pointed out to me in a conversation that children listen. They really listen to their coach of whatever sport in which they are involved if the coach actually knows what he or she is doing. Now, it's odd, isn't it? I mean, the kids get that. I mean, their logic, I suppose, is simple. Someone is teaching me what to do in a given sport, they actually should be better than me at that sport, and also should be able to show me how to become as good as they are. Of course, different coaches have different strengths and different weaknesses. No one expects an Olympic coach to be better at the sport than the athlete he or she is coaching in that sport, or an NFL or NBA coach to be better than their players. I mean, that is a bit odd, isn't it? The coaches of professional sports are not better at their sports than the athletes they coach. Well, it's not really that odd. For by the time an athlete gets to a certain level of skill, what they need is a coach to provide feedback, that is, to tell the athlete what they're doing, and then to offer advice as to how the athlete might improve. Swing coaches do that for PGA golfers. Diving coaches do the same for Olympic divers. Pitching coaches do the same for professional baseball. And yet there are coaches out there, yes, coaches who really are not understood by their players or their athletes at all. For those coaches have their athletes do things which the athletes don't understand, which the athletes don't grasp, which the athletes, they had their druthers, rather would not do. Why? Not necessarily because they're hard to do, but because the athletes just don't understand why it is that they must do them. I grew up in a small town in Nebraska where almost every boy wrestled. Yes, wrestled. We started before we were five, and our coach there, our high school coach, was somewhat of a legend locally. And he had us doing all sorts of hard things, even as five-year-olds, which taken by themselves were difficult to understand, especially when we were five. What did they have to do with wrestling? But our high school team always won. And through the years, that coach had coached many individual state champion wrestlers. So no one questioned the coach's methods. It was obvious, after all, that they worked. Now, if we had something like that with God, yes, with God, that is a record of state championship somethings to look to and to trust, we'd be a bit more open to the methods God uses in our lives, wouldn't we? Methods we don't understand. Hey, let's be honest about it. Why do so many people give up on God, fall away from God, run away from God? Well, probably the number one reason would be that they just don't understand how God is working in their lives. Even Christians, yes, Christians are apt to express themselves in this way, and that is, I don't know what God's will is for my life. In other words, I just don't know what God's doing with me. And this line of thought usually comes up especially when we face a hardship, a struggle, a setback, which we cannot understand. Why? I mean, if we knew and believed and had confidence in what God was doing with us at the moment, that our sickness, that our job situation, that our family agitation, God was using to help us to become better, to become more and more like His Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, if we firmly believed in God like those boys in my small hometown believed in our wrestling coach, we wouldn't be so troubled. Yes, those situations would still be hard, but not hard impossible, not hard unbearable, not hard incomprehensible, but simply hard. Like a good workout in a gym or a long run, or like when a weightlifter is maxing out on Monday so that the rest of the workout can be adjusted for the remainder of the week. Now, the key to such an attitude, such a disposition, to such faith, is the idea that God really does know more than we do. The key to such an attitude, such a disposition, to such faith is the idea that God really does know more than we do. Because that's our problem, isn't it? I mean, when it comes to God, we're not like the child who completely trusts his coach, confident that the coach knows what he's doing, but we're the child who isn't so sure, who doubts, who thinks maybe he knows, she knows more than the coach. What does our text say? What does our text say? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In other words, what God does with us, each and every one of us individually, is more profound than what we could ever do with ourselves. And what God thinks about us individually is more all-embracing than we could even approach with our thoughts. And that being the case, it really is not a matter of understanding or grasping on our part what God is doing, what God is doing with us. In our epistle reading, it was the imprisonment of Paul that the Philippians, they couldn't understand. But Paul noted, had he not been imprisoned, the gospel could not have been spread among the soldiers of the emperor of Rome. We could think here also of the effects of the imprisonment of John the Baptist or the persecution of the prophet Elijah or Jeremiah or even, yes, even the building of the ark by Noah. You know, that ark that now sits there in Kentucky that we saw this summer, it looks just as ridiculous there in the middle of rolling hills, hundreds of miles from an ocean of any type, as the ark of Noah must have looked back in the day. And yet, Noah built that ark. Why? Noah believed rightly that God's ways were higher than his, God's thoughts higher than his. It's our sin, of course, our arrogance, our pride, but also our fear, which does not allow us to what? To let God be God. That is, simply to admit that he is God. And by definition, he's going to work at times in our lives in ways in which we cannot understand. So let us repent of our such a lack of trust on our part, and as the kids like to say today, get over it. Get over the fact that we're not God. Let's stop concentrating on what we don't know about God, our loving Heavenly Father, and embrace that which we do know. And when we want to know about our loving Heavenly Father, where do we go but to his Son, as he's revealed to us in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? In writing to the Colossians, the Apostle Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, tells of the relation of the Son of God to the Father and why we should look to the Son to know the Father, how he works in our lives. That's where we look. We look to the Son to know the Father. There Paul writes, he, that is Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God. The image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Now, there's a lot there, isn't there, in Colossians, summarizing. The Son of God, very God himself, who created all that exists, became man in Jesus Christ, so that the earth, so that man, so that we, who had been alienated from God by sin, could be reconciled with God through the suffering and death of Jesus Christ on the cross. In other words, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. What does that mean? It means that now that through faith in Christ, our sins are forgiven, and we right now have peace with God. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the wonderful news that now that through Christ we can live in peace every day, knowing these things about God. These are the things we know about God through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That God's not out to get us. God's not working against us. God is not wishing somehow to rid himself of us, but that God loves us. God's caring for us. God is guiding us. God is guarding us. God is helping us. God is encouraging us. God is urging us. And all good things, even if we don't understand exactly how he's doing so, every second of every minute of every hour of every day. Here we must simply trust. We must simply believe. Here we must simply have faith that God, our loving Heavenly Father, is working for our good, and that the only reason we don't understand exactly how he's doing so is because, well, he in fact is God. Being God, his ways are indeed higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. Think about it. How silly are we? In every other aspect of our lives, we put ourselves in the hands of others who know more than we do. We learn the basics of a sport from a coach. We learn our subjects at school from a teacher. We learn how to take care of ourselves from a doctor. We learn how to fix our... No, we don't learn how to fix our computer. We simply take it to a computer guy who fixes it. Like we take our car to a mechanic, and we call a plumber, and on and on and on. Why? Because there are things we just don't know. And we're good with that. We're good with that. We don't need to know how to wire a 220 circuit as long as we know an electrician who can. I mean, we don't lay awake at night thinking about that. So if that's the case, if we simply think, I'll just call my electrician, or I'll just talk to my teacher, or I'll just talk to my doctor, they'll know. If we turn to worldly authority so frequently and so easily and so quickly, why don't we do the same thing when it comes to our loving Heavenly Father? For his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways not our ways, and that's a very, very, very good thing. It's a thought, the way of our loving Heavenly Father, not to leave us alone, not to leave us to ourselves as we stumble through life and somehow grasp after something of meaning greater than life. It's a thought, the way of our Heavenly Father, to have his Son, Jesus Christ, to become for us the way, the truth, the life, in the most inexplicable manner, and that is through his crucifixion and resurrection. And what is more? What is more? Just to make sure that we get it, as we also like to say today, our Father in heaven sends us his Spirit to turn our hearts and minds and souls to our Savior Jesus. Yes, our loving Heavenly Father has thought of everything. Why? Because he, simply put, is God. Apostle Paul comprehended this and rejoiced, as did the prophet Isaiah. I think we can do nothing but the same. Amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the creed.